A reading from the Epistle. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness. Of hope in our love, Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of person we proved to be among you and for your sake.
And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known. So that we have no need to speak about it.
For the people of those regions report about us what kind of people we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For years here at Broadway, we've been telling our children that they are God's special agents. During our midweek programming, we have had them dress up in secret agent gear, complete with stick-on mustaches, overcoats, fedora hats, holding old cell phones and magnifying glasses, and we took their picture, and they chose a secret agent name. Names like Agent Hamburglar or Agent Spy Guy. They got their own agent badge, and then we told them, you are God's special agents, assigned to do God's work in the world. And then they were given special missions to complete, such as go collect books for the local Hope Library, a library for families who are refugees in our city. Or go serve at a local community garden to harvest vegetables for families who need food. Or put together gift bags to encourage the teachers at our local public school. And many times, create cards, lots of cards, for homebound members and others, and they were given many other missions as well. While they learned about career missionaries in the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, they were told that they are too missionaries, and that the only requirement to be a missionary is to be a follower of Jesus, and that their mission is to love God and love their neighbor. We even had a secret symbol that we used. Whenever someone would call out GSA for God's special agents, we would put our finger over our upper lip like this to symbolize the mustache. So someone would say GSA, and we would all go like this. You can see. We were and are God's special agents in the world. We work for God, sharing the love of Jesus in so many ways, big and small. The Apostle Paul is considered the first missionary, and many scholars consider these letters written to the Thessalonians his very first missionary letters. So these beginning words of 1 Thessalonians could be his very first written words as a career missionary. What's encouraging and beautiful about these words are the themes of thanksgiving, empowerment, and relationship. Paul has spent time with these new believers, and he loves them. Through his words of affirmation to this community, Paul helps them believe that what they have been doing so far, they can continue to do into the future. And what have they been doing? In the midst of this cosmopolitan city of Thessalonica, under Roman rule, with a Greek influence and many religions to choose from, this group has embraced faith in Jesus and turned to become servants of God in their city. The recipients of the gospel have now become the proclaimers of it. Paul emboldens them by telling them they were chosen by God, chosen to be missionaries who imitate the love of Jesus through their labors of love, chosen to be ministers of the good news of the gospel of Christ, chosen to be the ecclesia, the holy community, the church that was being formed by God. As were the Thessalonians, so are the modern-day followers of Jesus. We are also chosen by God, chosen to be missionaries, chosen to be ministers, chosen to be the church. Our children expressed this beautifully earlier in the song written and composed by my dear friend and colleague, Emily Davis. I am a child. Could it be that I am made for ministry? I am a minister of my church. God, now I see. This reminds me of something my father would always quote as I was growing up. The well-known phrase from the prophet Isaiah, where it says, "And a little child shall lead them." When we look at the Thessalonians, we are struck by the freedom they had in spreading the news of Jesus. They were all called, not just one or two of them. And from other letters of Paul, we see that men and women, young and old, were all called to be ministers. This job took all of them working together to spread this new message. And it reminds me who Baptists really are. One of the main distinctives of being Baptist is this idea of the priesthood of the believer. Every believer is a priest of God and can enter into God's presence through prayer and worship. No other mediator is needed between God and God's people. Although we have career ministers and pastors and reverends, each Baptist believer can study God's word, pray for others, lead in worship, and serve others in the faith, whether a preacher or not. The governance and leadership of the church has not looked like this a lot of the times over the course of Christian history. But Baptists and early Christians have something in common. Everyone is called. However, being called or chosen doesn't always feel like a good thing. Paul mentions in his letter the persecution the Thessalonians had to face, and even though they faced this, they stayed steadfast. Perhaps this persecution came from the government directly, or from all of those who benefited from the government. Claiming Jesus as Savior would have disrupted the Pax Romana, or the peace of Rome. In addition, many Gentiles frowned upon this claim that Christianity took on a person's life and will. They wanted to continue following the cult memberships and the civic life engagements of the city that gave them prestige and privilege. To follow Jesus was to be solely answerable to God, which was not a popular viewpoint in that day. To recognize ourselves as chosen may make us squirm in our seats just a bit. For as we have often heard the phrase, made more popular by Peter Parker's Uncle Ben in the movie Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. We face obstacles. We might lose relationships or prestige or influence if we speak out about who we see Jesus to really be, especially in the midst of current debates where Christianity is being co-opted and misused to oppress certain groups of people. And just as our ancient brothers and sisters struggled to please God first, this is still not a popular viewpoint. To make God's will our top priority is difficult, especially in a culture that teaches us to get ahead. Some of the persecution we might do to ourselves, we think things like, I'm too old, or too young, or I don't have enough resources to do any work for Jesus, or I don't have any special knowledge of the Bible, so I'm not equipped to do this work. I have said to myself, and maybe you can relate, I can't even get my own life together. Who am I to speak to others about how to be followers of Jesus? We might be tempted to say, I can't do anything spectacular, so why bother? But just like we teach our children, although some acts of ministry may be small, they are never insignificant. At a recent children's retreat, Miss Toy talked with our children about some of the great heroes of our faith, people such as Rosa Parks, Frank Laubach, and Mother Teresa. But it was Mother Teresa who said, "Do small things with great love." Taking soup to your sick neighbor, just playing with your children, praying for a person in grief, or like our children often do, making a card for someone. Acts such as these, done with a labor of love, become great in God's eyes. Paul's last paragraph to the Thessalonian people in this first letter paints a picture of what it looks like to be an imitator of Jesus. He writes, "Respect those who labor among you. Be at peace with yourselves. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient. Do not repay evil for evil. See to do good to one another. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from evil." We can do this, not every minute of every day, but with the power of the Spirit who leads us, we can become imitators of Jesus a little bit more each day. And there is the secret, the Spirit. We did not choose God. God chose us. In this letter, Paul thanks God first, for God makes everything possible. Everything hinges on the Holy Spirit who came to the Thessalonians in power and filled them with joy. It's not in our power, but in the power of God that ministry happens at all. The word of the Lord sounds forth, and the Spirit uses those first Christians and the Christians of 2023 to be mediators of the gospel of God's saving love. We are ministers, side by side. And just as this holy community was called by God in the first century, so we too, the ministers of Broadway Baptist Church, are God's special agents. And so, in the spirit and celebration of this missionary letter written so long ago, listen now to a perceived letter written by the first Christians of Thessalonica to you, the chosen ministers of Broadway. The followers of Jesus in Thessalonica, to Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to you and to God for all of you, for we see your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in Christ Jesus. For we know that God has chosen you to be bearers of the good news of Christ and filled you with the power and conviction and joy of the Holy Spirit. You have become imitators of Jesus as you have remained faithful to worship God and do good to one another. You have written letters to those who can't come to church, and you have visited the sick. You have raised your children with the call of God's justice and given your youth a place of belonging to be their authentic selves. People of Broadway, you have provided meals for neighbors and advocated for fair treatment of those in prison. You have cared for homeless teenagers by giving them Christmas gifts of headphones and makeup. You have fed the hungry with your donations of canned tuna and vegetables. You have housed those in need by providing shelter in your gym. As God's beloved, you have confessed your mistakes and you are trying to make amends by making change. You have forgiven one another. You have prayed, rejoiced, and given thanks. You have turned away from evil and turned toward the inclusiveness of all of God's children. As ministers, you have read books that challenge your faith, studied the Bible with an open mind, sponsored retreats, spoken in worship, rung handbells, sang hymns, and held crying toddlers. You have celebrated God's creation by caring for Camp Broadway and providing a place of respite. You have cared for indigenous people, refugees, and educated yourselves on the continued oppression of people among you. You have worked hard to use your resources well and with integrity. You, Broadway Baptist Church, have been an example to churches in Tarrant County, Texas, and beyond. With your audacious ways of inclusivity, bold acts in the face of injustice, generous spirit for the least of these, and the humility to acknowledge areas for confession and growth. Even though you have encountered persecution from others who question your theology, you have turned away from false idols of money and power and fear and letting those lead your ministry. And you have served a living and true God. You wait for the promise of heaven, even as you experience the rescue of Jesus in the suffering of today. May the God of peace sanctify you, for the one who calls you is faithful. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.